Can you hear it? The echo of 1969 in today's unemployment number? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. From the Labor Department's survey of company payrolls today came weaker than expected results, plus 134,000 for payrolls. But it's also true that July and August payroll tallies were revised upward. Experts say that might have been Hurricane Florence disrupting both lives and the Labor Department survey. But payrolls were still up in September, and July's tally, where there's that revision. Chris Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial.
It's the usual suspects, healthcare workers, business service workers, but also some decent numbers on the goods producing side as well this month. We had a nice rise in manufacturing and construction.
The unemployment rate improved further, dropping from 3.9 to 3.7%. Now, that's the lowest since late 1969. That may be where the comparison ends. Back in 69, inflation was running at near 6%. Wages were going at a similar rate. Chris Lowe told me the old pros he works with are aware that hyperinflation followed.
You know, you can only imagine I'm on a bond trading floor and people are really nervous. 1969 is remembered as the beginning of the big mistake that led to 1970s inflation. And particularly the older guys out there, they don't think this is at all amusing. But, you know, what I like to remind them is the other thing that happened in the 70s is that oil increased in price from $3 to $40. You know, it would be the equivalent of oil costing $400 a barrel in 10 years. That might be a little inflationary, too.
Economist Chris Lowe at FTN Financial. And the song of the year, the last time the unemployment rate was this low. Let's do the numbers.
Sugar. Oh, honey, honey.
Yeah, the Archies. Interest rates this morning are up again, 3.21% for the yield on the government's 10-year note. Stocks, the Dow is up 0.1%, 23 points. The S&P 500 up 0.2%, a similar percentage rise for the NASDAQ composite. The Department of Transportation has just released guidelines for self-driving cars and trucks. One significant update, the agency says a human driver doesn't necessarily have to be in the driver's seat of an autonomous commercial vehicle. Truck drivers, are you listening? From WESA in Pittsburgh, Marketplace's Erica Barris reports.
When you ask some of the 3.5 million truck drivers in this country how they feel about autonomous trucks, they're
concerned about job displacement.
That's Joe Rakovitz with the Western States Trucking Association, a trade group. But
when you get to the large players in the industry, they're certainly looking at this as a way to potentially be a magic bullet that solves a lot of industry problems.
Like the shortage of truck drivers. Bill Sullivan with the American Trucking Association says this could be an asset to the industry.
Instead of driverless trucks, we're really talking about driver assist trucks.
Bryant Walker-Smith, professor at the University of South Carolina, focuses on law and technology. He says truckers don't have to worry about losing their jobs tomorrow, despite what he's heard from the autonomous vehicle companies.
I've heard that the technologies are ready and it's the law that's standing in the way. And I laugh every time because these technologies are still developing.
What these guidelines do, give the automated trucking industry more legal and political confidence. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
China's taxpayers are taking home more of their paychecks. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak joins us. Hi there.
Hi.
All right. So specifically, what's changed with China's individual income tax?
Well, starting this month, people earning less than $8,700 a year will not have to pay income tax. That's increased from the previous threshold of $6,000 a year.
All right. So less out to the tax people, more for the consumer. Are they going to splash out and spend a lot of money with all this extra disposable income?
Not exactly. The simple reason is the cost of living is going up, particularly in housing. We reached a taxpayer named Jiang Nan, who is in the eastern Chinese city of Ningbo. He's working as a project manager at an auto parts factory. Now, with this tax change, he says he'll be able to keep an extra $58 a month.
So he says an extra $58 could buy a pair of shoes or two pairs of pants. And he says the tax changes, it's a nice idea, but it's not really going to help him get what he wants most, which is to put a down payment on a property.
All right, so changing the taxes is a way to boost consumer spending. Other strategies that the Chinese government is pursuing?
Well, the government is also promising new individual tax deductions in January, but analysts argue that this increase is still far too modest to boost consumer spending, because at the same time in January, China is changing the way it collects Social Security contributions. This is important because an estimated two-thirds of companies and employees are not paying the full contributions. So, remember our taxpayer, Jiang Nan, he will be taking home an extra $58 a month, right? But after January, with the added Social Security contributions, he'll have only an extra $15 to take home a month. That is, if he still has a job. Because some factories we've spoken to have talked about downsizing because of this change. So given all of these challenges coming up, you can see why cutting the tax threshold is leaving some Chinese taxpayers rather underwhelmed.
A teachable moment about the Chinese economy and consumer behavior. For Marketplace's Jennifer Peck in Shanghai, thank you.
Thanks, David.
Last weekend, the flamboyant CEO of Tesla, Elon Musk, settled with the SEC in a case alleging he'd misled investors with his tweets. He's paying $20 million, giving up the chairman role. So maybe he'll filter himself more. Well, Musk yesterday mocked the SEC for helping people bet that Tesla shares will fall. Musk called the SEC the Short Seller Enrichment Commission, and Tesla stock is down 3% now. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.